Well, it's time for In the Chains, the UK-based podcast for amateur disc golfers. Get ready for course reviews, disc reviews, and the latest news and updates from the disc golf world. Your hosts will also talk about their own progression and have a lot of fun along the way. And now, here they are, two Brits and one Yang. Let's get started.
Welcome back to a brand new episode of In the Chains. We are your amateur disc golf podcast, bringing you the latest from the disc golf world, including news, interviews, and all things disc golf. My name is Dennis, and I'm your favorite American, and with me as always are my two favorite Brits, the Rocky to my Bullwinkle. Hello, boys.
Have we changed from doing the British one now, have we? Have you run out of ideas?
Jesus, well, I've run out of ideas weeks ago.
I don't even know what a Bullwinkle is.
Are you serious? You guys, do you guys not have Rocky and Bullwinkle in this country?
It's some weird moose, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the moose and the squirrel. It's like primetime 60s television.
You do know I was born in 88.
Yeah, we're not as old as you, mate.
This is true. You're not as old as me.
Kids TV in black and white.
It was Saturday morning cartoons. Is that not a thing here?
Not really.
Why do I live in this country when you guys don't even have Saturday morning cartoons?
I don't know. We're a bit old to watch cartoons.
Well, I mean, I wasn't when I was a kid. Well,
you're not watching them now, are you?
Well, no, because I'm talking to you assholes.
I don't mean literally right now.
Well, okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
Go on. Get on with it.
All right. Moving on. My jokes land flat again. All right. I gotta say, I am super excited for this week's podcast. We have something totally different for everyone. Normally, we focus ourselves or on the pros. However, this week, we wanted to take a look at disc golf from another angle. I think many of us go out and play, and we take a lot of things for granted, especially the environment and our impact playing disc golf. That's why this week, we sat down with YouTube sensation and disc golf lover, Mr. Trash Panda. Come join us as we talk about sustainability in disc golf, as well as how to make discs out of recycled plastics. But before we go into the interview, Bowen, like always, is going to give us the recap of the news and let us know what happened this past weekend. So, Bowen, please, take it away. What you got for us?
Right. I've got some exclusive stuff here. Now, it'll be online by the time this episode breaks, but I've spoken to Derek today as of the 23rd of March, and he's given me some important dates to reserve in your calendar. The obvious one's the first one. He reopens on the 29th of March, so he's got ready, he's all geared up to go for that. Now, normally you'd have the Quarry Park open. This year we're getting two events. We're getting the Quarry Park Amateur Open on the 16th of May. And this is for any player with a rating lower than 850.
Oh, that's you, Dennis.
That is me. Thanks.
It'll be you in a couple of weeks' time, Duffy.
It depends when the next ratings get adjusted.
God, you're a dick.
And then for the better players and Duffy.
What date? What date's my tournament, Ben?
The 12th and the 13th of June is when the Quarry Park Open is coming. And that's for the better players. So yeah. Anyone rated above 850.
So now, can you play both?
Yeah.
Are you allowed to play both?
I don't know. You're asking me questions that I didn't ask. No, I'm guessing no. Because you can't be rated 850 for one and then... I suppose you could be, but
well, no. I could be 849 and then after the next one be... 852.
You could also be it could drop as well.
Yeah,
somebody could drop. Okay, so we got May 16th for anybody who wants to basically play MA4 and who's rated 850 or lower.
Yes, and then the 12th and the 13th of June for the better players.
For MA3 and above, basically.
Yes.
So my one's a 2-day event then.
Let's not get tied down to any fine details yet.
You know, I gotta say there's some tournaments and events before that are rated before we get to that point.
I feel a bit of a cough coming on though. That's the early. That's my.
I think this is great work from Derek.
I got the black lung, Pa.
I think this is great work from Derek, though, because it gives everyone a better chance to get in on a tournament instead of it being like a keyboard-like race.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I think it does as well is, so for players like me who aren't that good yet.
And me, really.
You played well last time. But it's for people who, it's their first tournament. They want to play on a tournament. They're a little nervous and they don't want to think, you know, be around people who are way better. This is for people who are like skills to come out and be in their own tournament. So I think you'll have a great showing. It'll be a good turnout. And then obviously with the actual Quarry Park open being a month later, that everybody knows Quarry Park and that's where all the big boys are going to come out and shine. So I love the idea. I think it's great. Depending on my rating, I'm going to sign up for one of them.
And hopefully by the 12th and 13th of June, because I doubt we'll be good enough to play. You two might be, I won't be. Hopefully we can go and watch, if not.
Yeah, that would be great too. Maybe we can use our media passes and go as the podcast and you know, see what's going on. Because I remember a few years ago, it was actually filmed and put on Coastal Disc Golf.
Yeah.
Yeah, or Central Coast Disc Golf. So who knows? If there's media out there, then maybe, you know, we as a podcast can come out and interview some winners or players. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So, great news. What happened this weekend, Bowen?
Well, I've got two more dates. I've got two more dates for you, actually.
There's more.
There's the Quarry Park Masters, which are on the 25th and 26th of September.
For Dennis again?
These dates aren't finalised yet, so keep your eye out for them.
I'm 1 year away from the Masters. I'm not in the Masters yet.
You are old as hell, though.
I am old. I'm really old.
And then finally, the British Open, which is the 16th and 17th of October, is also at Quarry Park.
Oh, cool.
How do you get... is that invite open for the British Open?
I don't know. It's too far away for me to worry about at the moment.
Oh, my God.
It's too far away.
Good work, Bowen.
Right. Now, this is what Dennis wants to hear about, and I think Duffy's going to be the happy one here. Belton, MPO, it was a shootout, wasn't it?
Yep.
It was amazing. Amazing to watch. What a round.
Ricky.
What a tournament.
Ricky came first with 43 under, and Paul, unfortunately, lost out to him by two shots at 41 under.
It was, you know, I watched that final round, great tournament. Like I mean, they were killing it. The battle was always going to be between those two on the final day. You know, Paul started with a one-shot lead. I think he lost the lead on the back nine. Went into 17, one stroke down. And I think he just had a brain fart. Like, it was one of those, like, a give-me putt. And then he misses. Ricky makes his birdie. So now it's a two-stroke lead going into 18, and 18 looked impossible to birdie.
Well, like I said to you, that Dennis, at the time I was messaging you, it looked to me like he'd given up. He realised that he's not going to be able to make the shots back, and because he didn't even put a marker down for his putt on 17th, and it just seemed so rushed. And that if there's anything that you would say about Macbeth, you would say he's methodical and he's going to do everything the right way. That's what's got him to the position where he is now. But
Chris Clemens tell us that he's like the most? He's got the best sort of like mental psychology in the game.
His mental game is what got him to the top.
Just, it wasn't something that he would normally do, though. Just not even put a marker down. Just put.
But one of the things I've noticed about Paul is, if he's not going to get first, then he doesn't care. Right, because it's that old Ricky Bobby saying, if you're not first, you're last. And I really think that that's a good reference.
Great film.
I think that's just Paul Macbeth's mentality. Because let's be honest, he's no longer playing the Pro Tour for the winnings that you get for winning an event. He's playing for the prestige of winning the event. Yeah. He wants the wins. He wants to be known as the winningest disc golfer. So if he's not going to win, that's kind of his mentality. He'll finish and obviously be, you know, a sportsman and an athlete, but I think that's his mentality going in as well. But it was great on Ricky. You know, I love Ricky. I think he's a great player. And I love this battle between Paul and him. And as long as it's a good battle, I don't care who wins. It was a great golf. It was fun to watch.
Can I just say, you've taught me two new words there. A give me, which we call a gimme, and winging, what is it, most winningest. That's not a word.
Sure it is.
No, it's not. It's an American word.
Therefore, it's a word.
Here we go. Who wrote the English language? Who wrote the English language?
The Germans. But that's like saying that a word in French isn't a word just because it's not the language that you speak.
No, you sort of took our language and bastardized it.
Bastardized? Bastardized. You want to talk about words that don't... That's bastardized.
I think... That's the same fucking thing.
Can I just say, I think we may be going off topic just a tad.
Yeah. Right. Chris Clemens came in.
I'm dead happy about Ricky, for what it's worth. Sorry. big fan of Ricky. He's one of my favourites. So I was pretty pleased, Sunday. Continue.
Yeah, it was good. And our man Chris came in with a respectable 22 under to tie for 21st as well. So, well done to him.
He started really well, didn't he? And I think he faded a little bit.
Yeah, I think it was tied for sixth going into the round.
Oh, okay. So,
but when you do the news, look at where they were and where they ended up.
It's a good job we've got us two in it and the podcast.
I was working all day Sunday, weren't I? So I didn't really get a chance to watch anything.
In case you can't see, I'm just playing like a tiny little violin.
No, I chose to work. Yeah, it's my own choice. Yeah. But right, in the women's, Katrina Allen took the win with 6 under, and Heather Young ran a close with 5 under.
I wanna be forever young.
That's terrible.
I know.
That was a shootout as well, from the looks of it.
Who got third?
It was Missy Gannon with 2 over.
2 over. Okay, so again, just like the MPO, first and second was nowhere near third.
No, exactly. So those two were in a league of their own at the weekend. And
Heather Young really came back. Oh, sorry, Heather Young really came back. I saw some of Kat's putts. I gotta say, wasn't impressed.
Nah,
was not impressed. There was some. Putts that even you could have made, Bowen.
Oh, fuck off.
I don't know. I don't know
if it was I've outscored you on Puttify, so why are you giving me throwing shade at me like that?
It has got a point, to be fair.
Yeah, he does. That's why I don't have a comeback. You're right. All right. I'm sorry I cut you off. Please continue.
And Vanessa van Dijken came in 11th with 10 over, so she's getting better as she... This is only a second tournament. She's finding that form, so... Next week, she'll be back.
She's been off. She had the injury and the surgery. I love watching, especially people who've been on the show. I really pay attention to them and how they're playing. I think Thomas Gilbert had a bad week. But, you know, it's just... disc golf is so much fun. All right, Bone, do you have anything else for us?
That is it for this week. We've got a busy show, haven't we?
We do have a busy show. So, wait. I got one last thing. One last thing. So, Andrew from Hole One sent the three of us some gifts. Some t-shirts. He sent me a stencil to do a disc dye. And I'm pretty impressed. These shirts, I want to keep them a secret for right now. But Andrew, these are amazing. Thank you, bud, so much. I'm going to say it now. I want you to be my t-shirt guy. These things are amazing. They're funny. We will eventually put some pictures up on Instagram, but I'm going to wait for the first tournament to wear mine. They're amazing, dude. What did you guys think about yours without giving away what it is?
Well, they know what mine is because we mentioned it last week, but mine's funny.
Yeah, we did.
A Duffy's is hilarious.
Duffy's is the best one. Duffy's is absolutely... Yeah.
I think, to borrow one of your phrases, I think he's knocked it out of the park.
Knocked it out the fucking park. It's awesome. Yeah. But this is what we're going to do. So this week, we are going to do a giveaway, right? We hit 600 subscribers on Instagram. We're going to do a giveaway. So make sure you check our Instagram to figure out the rules of how to get entered. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to custom dye a brand new Discraft Buzz with the in the Chains logo that Hole One provided to me. So kind of a collaboration thing that we didn't know what we're going to do. It's going to look really sweet, and then whoever wins will get that disc. So what do you guys think about that?
Right, oh dear.
Yeah, I think that's cracking on.
Right, oh dear.
Perfect. Perfect. Awesome.
How do I enter?
Yeah, I know. That's a good question. I don't know. You made it up. So it's your rules. All right, cool. Awesome. All right, moving on. So it is time to jump straight into our interview. We would like to welcome Mr. Trash Panda. All right, everybody. We have a wonderful guest for you guys this week. Coming out of Denver, Colorado, it's Mr. Trash Panda himself, Jesse Stedman. What's up, Jesse? How are you doing?
Doing great. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, not a problem. Thank you for joining us. You're doing us the favor. So yeah. We appreciate it. Thanks for coming. So a lot of our listeners may not know who you are or what you're about. Can you give us, you know, just a few minutes of basically who you are and what you do?
Yeah. The way I've concisely figured out a way to say it is that I like three things. I like disc golf, I like making things, and I like sustainability. And so Trash Panda is kind of the collision of all three of those things. I kind of had this idea that I could make a disc out of my garage. I could do it out of recycled materials, and I would chronicle the whole process on YouTube. And my goal was to just influence people to grow the sport sustainably, because disc golf is growing wildly, but I think there's a high percentage of people who are playing, myself as one of them for a long time, who, you know, play a sport that's outside with plastic in our hands, not thinking about the oxymoron it is to have plastic playing something outside. It's almost contradictory to the environment. And so my goal is to say, hey, how can we do this? How can we keep this thing we love? I've been playing for 12 years. Like, I don't want to stop playing disc golf. People ask me, hey, could we use wood? No, like, I'm not trying to bring up, hey, let's do something completely different. I'm just trying to say, hey, what can we do to say, let's build this sport today, like we're thinking about the people who are going to play in 450 years. And 450 years isn't like a random number. 450 years is the number I use because that's how long it takes a plastic water bottle to decompose. Just a single use plastic water bottle. It's on Earth for 450 years. So if we're thinking long term about disc golf, 450 years is the minimum. So okay. Yeah, my whole thing is about sustainability, and Trash Panda is just me having a good time in my garage, trying to make things and trying to push the boundaries of what we can do.
Awesome. With that, so we're going to get into a bunch of that stuff.
Absolutely.
One of the things you said, you're a maker, right? You enjoy making. So how did you gain that skill of being able to make stuff? So we've watched your videos and we've seen the cool die press that you have. And obviously that takes some mechanical engineering. Is that your background, or did you just kind of
not think about it? Not in any way. my training is a pastor. I decided that was not what I wanted to do with my life anymore. And in trying to figure out what I wanted to do, I was like, hey, I've always wanted to try something like this. I've always wanted to start my own thing, run my own thing. And that was kind of how I got here. So I start there to say, I'm literally as far away from having the experience to be able to do something like this as anyone could get. I think I made a joke in a video one time saying the closest I am to making things in my profession is that Jesus was a carpenter. Outside of that, that's not where I learned it. I grew up though with a dad who loved to make stuff, who was Mr. Fix-It, right? Like if we had something broken at the house, we would fix it. And if he had projects, he would hand my brother and I a shovel and not even teach us how, just go for it. Just push us to learn new things and try new things. And by the time I was kind of around junior high, we moved to some property, ended up with a barn that he was able to fill with a bunch of toys. And we were able to really kind of make a bunch of stuff. It was awesome. And I didn't appreciate it at all. I hated it because my dad was telling me what to do. And as any kid, in high school, that's just how it goes. It wasn't until I graduated from college, moved into my first place, and got into my garage and realized I didn't have a single tool, not even like a drill. And I was like, what's going on? And so since then, I've slowly collected. I really got into woodworking for the first few years. And then my transition to metalworking was coincided with the start of Trash Panda. Okay. So my first video is like learning how to weld. Huh. And I intentionally did that because I wanted people not to come and be like, this is cool what he's doing, but I could never do that. But to see, I was a dude in my garage who didn't know how to weld. I watched some YouTube videos, taught myself how to weld, and that was the start of this. So I really, like, I'm a huge proponent of you can learn anything put your mind to with the resources we have today. If you, you know, if you have the ability, then you can learn anything. And if you have the mindset, you can learn anything. So it's just been, I mean, I got into it very naive, to be honest. Like, I didn't know much about plastics. I didn't know much about engineering. You'd look at the machine I made and think I engineered it. But at the end of the day, I just kind of cut and pasted and tried to see if it would work. So, yeah, it's a, you can learn anything. And it's not the goal of my channel to promote that. Like, my message is to grow the sport sustainably. It's not that you can learn anything, but I hope as a secondary or a tertiary goal that people hear that as a message of, hey, like, we can do this. Being a disc golfer takes learning. Being someone who cares about the environment, it takes being willing and open to learn. And being able to make discs, same thing.
So you really threw yourself in at the deep end, didn't you?
Yeah, that would be a little bit of an understatement, I would say.
So. One thing I've noticed through watching the videos, I've caught on quite early with the videos on YouTube, and I've watched pretty much all of them, I think. One thing I've noticed is, especially like with the diecast you put out on, I think it was on Facebook or Reddit for assistance to help that made and things like that, and how willing and cooperative the whole disc golf community seems to be in terms of helping one another. I mean, I know you've had a lot of help off different people, and I find that's quite a nice way of how the community comes together to help different people.
I mean, going back to the very beginning of this conversation, you know, you said it was that I was doing you the favor to be here, and I don't see it that way at all. As you mentioned, like, it's the disc golf community, just the golf community. We're all homies. We all help each other out. And to me, that's like such a value. And so I knew early on too, I wanted to make it as open source as possible. So yeah, if I run into a problem, I'm making a video about it. I'm saying that I ran into that problem and I'm asking people for help. And if you look through the comments, it's constantly, you know, I get a comment at least on every video that's like, hey, mechanical engineer here with unsolicited advice. And I'm like, I want that. Like, it's not unsolicited. Please give me your advice. Like, I need that help. So yeah, I mean, and I've said it in a video before, but like, if I had a background in mechanical engineering, or if I had a background in plastic production or manufacturing or recycling, I would not be running into the problems that I'm running into. Like, it's because you have to make mistakes to learn too.
That's what I was just about to say. That's life, right? You make a mistake, for sure. You learn from it, you improve a process, and you keep going. That's literally
that's what disc golf, life right?
Like, oh, yeah, absolutely.
And it's something we love. We all hold it so dear. And for me, that was like my three loves, disc golf, making things, and sustainability. I realized that like all three of those things were the same thing. You put in a ton of work. You got to learn. You got to learn things that you don't know yet. You got to make mistakes. You got to get there. And ultimately, like you said, those are all analogous to life too.
Exactly. Why is it that, because I mean, there's a lot of plastics now that are recyclable, and it doesn't seem like there's a lot of discs that are, I'm not sure whether it's the fact that they're not recyclable after use or they're not made of recycled plastic initially. Why isn't that sort of addressed more by the mainstream sort of brand, their disc making brands?
Manufacturers. You know, I can't totally speak for them, but I can guess. And what I've tried to say is that, like, at Discraft, Innova, or any of the big ones, their goal is to make the best discs on Earth, right? And at Trash Panda, my goal is to make the best discs for the Earth. They're very different by the difference of like two letters. And the difference there is that if I was getting into this trying to make the best discs on Earth, I would not have started with recycled materials. At the end of the day, what exists in a takeout container is called polypropylene. And the disc you hold in your hand is probably about 20% polypropylene with a handful of minerals, plasticizers, like all these different things going into it to make it heavier, which is why all my discs are lighter than what's on the market. It's to make it flexible, which is why I've had discs break, because, you know, the plastic that's made to be a takeout container, or the plastic HDP was what I started with, that's made to be like a bucket, right? Like a plastic 5-gallon bucket. That's not made to perform in the air and when it hits the trees and when it hits the chains. Like at the end of the day, it's not made for that. So, you know, it's like we're talking about, when we talk about disc golf, we're talking about chemistry, and we're talking about chemists designing the best feeling thing in your hand, how it hits the chains, all of that. And I think, you know, getting into this, I would wager that what we see from, let's just say, Discraft, of their line of plastics that they have, I would guess we're seeing 1%, if not less, than the plastics that they've tested. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's what gets to market. So they're testing and they're doing all these things. I'm sure they've tested recycling like I have. I'm sure they might throw in other recycled products. I mean, Dave at Gateway told me he sometimes uses recycled polypropylene rather than like virgin polypropylene. And I was like, that's awesome. You should market with that. Yeah. Like at the end of the day, that's super cool.
Why aren't they telling people that they're using recycled stuff?
I don't know why he's not. I don't expect that everyone else is. And you can control your product a lot better when you use virgin plastics.
Yeah.
And the price of oil determines the price of virgin plastics. So when oil's low, it makes financial business sense to go for that, unless your brand is about sustainability. And so at the end of the day, it's just, you know, like I've been testing for almost a year now, and I'm starting to get to the place where I'm realizing like recycling discs into discs will probably make the best feeling discs that I can. I haven't tested that yet. I know that most on the market are recyclable. It's just, here's where it gets convoluted and where Trash Panda is trying to do something different. If in 450 years, someone finds a DX Valkyrie on the bottom of a lake, they can't throw that into waste management's recycling system or whatever the equivalent would be out in the UK. Like they can't throw that in with, say it has 20% polypropylene. It can't be recycled with polypropylene. So the only way for those things to be recycled is to be brought back in-house, which is why I also hope, just to be honest, I hope that I'm a fire under the ass of the manufacturers being like, hey, create a send back program. Yeah. Like, why not? These DX discs, I throw it into a tree once, it's not usable. Like, create a send back program. I can get, you know, 10%, 20% off my order for sending you back your discs, and we can keep them out of landfills.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Because what I was just thinking was, you know, because some of your videos, I see you picking up trash on the courses, which we'll get into a little bit, and doing your part. But we as disc golfers, we lose discs, right? That's part of the game. If we're playing near a river, or even
that's part of our game.
Yeah.
But if we're throwing a disc and it lands in the woods or it lands in the river, at the end of the day, that's plastic that doesn't break down. Or like you said, it takes 450 years for a plastic bottle to break down. Our discs are a little thicker than that. Yeah, they're made out generally the same. Has there ever been a thought of moving to a more biodegradable disc or something that goes, degrades faster?
That's a great question. Yeah. So Dynamic Disc recently announced their Ecoplastic, which seems to be in the vein of something that's considered a, this is an umbrella term, but a quote unquote bioplastic, which is those biodegradable plastics. I'm not confident that it is because of what they've added in. It just might be more eco-friendly on the front end. But I definitely am thinking about using something like a PLA or a biodegradable plastic to try it out. The issue, and it's something that's being realized and learned, is that biodegradable plastic has become a little bit more of a marketing term, or compostable plastic has become a little bit more of a marketing term. So for compostable plastic, I live next to a brewery. They have they actually just recently switched their cups back to not compostable plastic, but they used to use a compostable plastic. They would, you know, put it in recycling bins, and I assume it goes to the landfill or a recycling plant or something like that. But the reality is that unless it goes to a composting plant, it actually won't break down like it's supposed to. And I'm going to throw out some numbers. These are me saying them, but don't quote me on them. I'm not sure they're exactly accurate. But the idea is like that plastic has to sit in for 90 days in 60% humidity at, you know, 80 degrees or whatever it is. And that's a composting plant. It's like a manufactured area for things to compost. And if that plastic doesn't go there, it actually won't break down. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it doesn't break down because of the different types of, you know, weather and stuff like that. It's never consistently the same weather here in Denver so that it breaks down if it ends up in a landfill or something. And so bioplastic is an interesting term. It's still ultimately, like, the systems still need to improve. I think just to be grounding and to give people some hope here, like the reality that I live into and that I like Trash Panda is pushing towards is investing in recycling today doesn't mean they're perfect systems, but it means that money is going into those systems to create a better recycling system tomorrow. And so my investment today to be better is also saying, hey, in 100 years, it's going to be so much better. And who knows where bioplastics could be? Who knows where this, that, the other thing could be? So it's, yeah, biodegradable plastics, Dynamics Ecoplastic, it's all really confusing and convoluted. And to be honest, I'm still relatively new to it. So it's not something I feel like an expert in.
Yeah, but it seems like you've taken this kind of this stance and you're like a one man army going into it, you know, trying to obviously have the sustainability of keeping the planet basically here for the next however long, and making it better for the future generations. But you said earlier that a lot of the manufacturers, you know, you said their goal is to make the best discs on the planet. Well, their goal is also to make money. That's what it is. I mean, if I'm owning a business, that's my goal, is to make money. How are you going to bring more awareness to those companies and then to disc golfers who aren't watching your YouTube channel?
Yeah. Well, I guess I could answer that by going back to you saying I'm a one-man army. I think if you look at my following and read my comments, and if you were to be able to audit my email and my DMs, you would see that I'm far from a one-man army. Part of the reason that, like, one of my biggest pushes is to pick up trash on the disc golf course is because there's people all over who are now picking up trash on the disc golf course because they watched one of my videos. And, like, that means the world to me. If that's the impact that Trash Panda has, I'm good. Like, I'm happy. If that's all we do, fantastic. And so I think ultimately, like, the push goes to, like, how is it going to continue? How will it grow? How will I push those brands? How will I, you know, bring awareness to people who aren't aware? It's really through the army that is not me. I mean, it's through all the people who are a part of it. And so, you know, it's obviously, like, because of YouTube, because of Instagram, because of social media, I can grow and people can find it by just scrolling. But I think it's also like, you know, you're out on the course and you're playing with someone and you bend down and pick up a piece of trash. And they're like, oh, that's pretty cool of you to do that. Or maybe they say nothing, but they're inspired. And that's growing the army at the end of the day. So I think like the push there is like, my eyes are on grow the sport sustainably. Like that's my vision. And so how that happens will totally change. There will be different ways. It might be through a video. It might be through me making discs and manufacturing discs. It might be through me partnering with a large company. Like whatever it is, if it's growing the sport sustainably, I'm in, and I think my audience is in as well. So I don't know if that totally answers the question, but
that's perfect. I freaking love it. Like,
yeah,
I'm sitting
here. Very good answer.
Yeah. do you feel, Jesse, like us as a consumer have a more important part to play because we're the ones fueling, we've got to have this disc, we've got to buy this disc, I need this disc. We don't in reality need as many discs as we probably think we do we?
I won't tell anyone what they need. I think I have more discs than I need, and I think that I would be one in a sense statement. So I tell anyone what they need, but if you scroll through Reddit and you see people's disc shelves, they probably don't throw all those things. Yeah. So, how can was the question kind of like how can you? As
yes,
just
yes.
An individual do more.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you know, that's the question I'm consistently asking myself. Like that's what I'm always asking myself because like we've talked about, like alone I can what's that saying, like if you want to go fast, go alone, if you want to go far, go together or something like that.
Okay.
For me it's like alone I can do a lot for now, whatever. But together we could make a huge impact. And so whether that's, I've talked about this in an assortment of videos, so I'm going to summarize a lot of those, whether that's picking up a piece of trash and like putting it in the trash can so that it's not sitting in the fairway, or whether that's using a reusable water bottle rather than using single use plastics on the disc golf course, or whether that's buying Dynamic Disc's new eco plastic when it comes out and saying, hey, we want to show you as consumers that our money is going to go towards something you do that will benefit the environment. Because today, like that's a step forward, but Dynamics Eco Plastic isn't the solution, but no. It's a step forward still, which means, hey, we want to put our money behind that. So I think that's kind of the how and the way to do it. And that's, you know, three examples in 100 I could give. I just recently launched you guys can see this, everyone else can't, but I recently launched these reuse trackers, these little stickers that go on your water bottle. And every single time you scan it, there are corporate partners who have worked with this company to bring donations to people to get access to clean water. So what that means is every single time I refill my water bottle and scan that, it sends someone a donation to clean water that I didn't pay for, which is too good to be true. Let's just be clear about that. That's too good to be true. In addition to that, it also tracks your environmental impact with how many uses you've done. So at the end of 2021, you could be like, boom, I diverted this many pounds of waste from from a landfill, or I diverted this many pounds of waste from plastic, like from plastic pollution getting into the ocean. Should I be talking in what? Kilograms?
They're weird. They use both, right?
Don't look at
them. Yeah. they use freedom measurements and the metric system.
What we tend to use is what everybody in the world uses.
Yeah, everyone else uses.
Whereas Americans tend to use, we're right and everybody else is wrong.
So yeah, that's another step. Like you could go to my website, you could get your tracker, and you could actually like make an impact just by the fact that you use a reusable water bottle on the course. Like, and someone messaged me something that a friend of theirs messaged them, and it said, save the planet by doing something I already do. I'm in. And that's exactly what that is. It's like, it's so easy. And picking up trash on the course, it's so easy. And after 12 years of playing, I think eventually I just realized like, people needed to realize that like we need to do this. Like it's not our fault, but it's our responsibility. And you don't have to believe that, but I believe that. And that's my belief that I take with me every time I play disc golf, every time I pick up a piece of trash. You're not going to see a piece of trash on a disc golf course because I put it there. Like, you're never going to see that.
Yeah.
Unless it's totally accidental. And then I will totally admit that. But like, you know, I'm always going to pick it up because even though it's not my fault, it's my responsibility.
Mm-hmm. It's almost a perfect sport in order to sort of take this approach and try and make it more eco-friendly. Because a lot of the people that play disc golf tend to be more of a hippie sort of more accepting of bettering the planet than what perhaps other sports are. That's just in my opinion. One thing I was going to ask in terms of the plastics, what makes a certain plastic better for flight characteristics, or what changes flight characteristics? So you have the same, the bigger brands, you have the same molds, you have different plastics. What sort of makes the shots different? Is it the density of the plastic, or?
The short answer is I don't totally know.
Okay.
but what I would guess based off of what I've studied is all of those things. It's the density of the plastic. It's the mix of materials and the minerals and the weight and everything like that. All of the stuff that goes into it, the concoction, it's just, it does it differently. So for example, like my most successful disc I've made so far is out of polypropylene, which is number 5 takeout containers, nug jugs, you name it. It's actually less dense than water. So polypropylene discs, if I throw it into the water, it'll actually float, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Good for you, though.
Like, that's a great.
Yeah, it'd be great for me.
Yeah, I mean, let's be real. It'd be great for all of us. We all throw into the water. And I've trudged through the water like for an hour in like up to my neck back, you know, when I was in high school and whatever, trying to get discs that I couldn't find. I just couldn't find it. And the reality is, like, sometimes we throw discs into the water and we try to get them and we can't. Like, that happens. And like, what a cool thing that this disc can then float. But the fact that it's less dense than water would also mean that it's going to have a different like characteristic in terms of how it flies. So yeah, I don't totally know exactly why, but you know, you guys probably have a plastics engineer who will comment on the video and let us know. So,
in one of the videos, without trying to sort of spoil the journey, one of the issues that you did have was the flight plate, the central part, was either a bit too thick or a bit too thin, and you were struggling with that. How did you sort of overcome that issue?
Yeah. So, again, going back to what I talked about with plastics being like commonly produced plastics in the world that are used for these commonly used things, like this, we're talking about plastic production that looks disc golf, that makes disc golf look like nothing. Like the water bottle industry, the bottle cap industry, the detergent bottle industry, like that makes disc golf look like nothing. And so we're talking about those types of plastics, takeout containers, buckets, trash cans, etc. Could keep going. I'll stop there. Those plastics are all significantly lighter than the plastic discs that we're holding because the discs have been mixed with minerals and such to get them to weigh like more. So the reason my flight plate was too thick was because in CAD, as I was designing the disc to get it to be the right weight, I had to make it thicker and thicker and thicker. And I was like, this makes no sense, but like, we'll just go with it. And that was when I knew nothing about plastics. Now that I know that, I've been able to slowly thin it out, add some weight to the rim, but it's still ultimately like a pretty hard disc. And that's because I haven't added minerals or plasticizers or anything like that. So, yeah.
Is that something that you're thinking about doing, is adding those plasticizers, or does that take away from the sustainability? Because then you're just making a new plastic like the big manufacturers.
So I want to be really clear in my definition of sustainability. It's my definition is one step forward. So I just want to say that to say it takes away from future recyclability, but it doesn't take away from sustainability. Like, it's still a sustainable move to try to recycle plastics. Like, that's still sustainable. And people look at these people who are zero waste, who grow all their own food, X, Y, and Z, and go, oh, I wish I was more sustainable. And it's like, no. Like, don't compare yourself with them. Like, that's a mile ahead. You just need to take one step forward. And so as a disc golf community, if we're taking one step forward, a recycled disc that isn't recyclable is still a step forward. What I personally want with Trash Panda is to create a disc that's both recycled and recyclable. And if it's and again, to be clear, it is recyclable if I add minerals by me, but it can't be found by someone in 200 years, thrown into the rest of the stuff and recycled with that. And I want it ultimately to like the systems in our world that get better with recycling are going to start with these commonly produced plastics. Yeah. And that's why I'm tapping into those first.
Nice. So do you want to tell us a bit about your discs? Like, what's the sort of process? I know it takes you a good while just to set it up and make one disc, doesn't it? Do you want to run us through that?
Yeah. For the listeners, if they check out the video called, like, how, if you just search on YouTube, how to make a disc, two videos. One is Latitude 64 and one is me. Latitude 64 is like the professional manufacturing way to do it, and mine is like the stripped down DIY way to do it. So they're fun to compare. It's like all robots at Latitude, and it's just me like hanging on my machine.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That is.
So
it looks like a good workout anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good time. I'm young for now, so I can do it. The process is pretty simple. I mean, the way an injection machine works is that there's a barrel, the plastic goes into the barrel that's then heated and melted, and then a plunger pushes that plastic through the barrel, through the nozzle, and into a mold. This is how, like, the Latitude video works, and it's how mine works. It's just two completely separate, like, designs of a process and machines. So my process takes about 30 minutes per disc, but I'm really working on it for like 5 minutes. The reality is we're talking about so much time for plastic to melt, so much time for the plastic to then cool down. And it just, that all takes time where, you know, so yeah, 30 minutes is kind of what I tell people. That's how long it takes to make a disc, but working time is not that much. So yeah.
But like you said in one of your videos, you know, if you're making more than one disc at a time, you'll start the process. You know, you get to have some garage putts while everything's warming up.
Yeah.
You'll make a disc, and then you'll finish a disc while the next one's, you know, next plastic.
Yeah, one will be cooling while the next one's starting to melt and all that jazz, which is why I say 30 minutes all together. Like, once I'm making discs back to back to back, it takes about 30 minutes. So
how many discs do you think you've made so far?
Oh, that's a great question. With successful or failed attempt?
Both.
Successfully, somewhere north of 10 and south of 20.
Okay.
Unsuccessfully, 100 or
okay.
so.
Okay.
But to just be clear with that, like, my bar for successfully is like, if there's a little blemish, like, I'm trying to perfect this process. So that's not quite successfully at this point. And I honestly, I don't test a ton because it's been a lot of slowly, like, okay, this mold's being remade. So I have to wait a month between testing, and I'm not going to test just to test. So
yeah.
it's been slowly, but I'll also say that number 10 to 100 would be very different if I then started now with what I've learned. Part of it was all just learning how to use the machine, how to get it to do the right thing and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I like to dye discs. I'm not a maker on any stance like you are, but I found that dyeing has been fun, and I've really,
that's maker. That's defined as maker. Come on, give yourself some credit.
No, I can't. But I found that through all the discs that I've dyed, it's never perfect, but it's always awesome. And I've really kind of stepped or stayed with that motto. I love Japanese culture, and they have a saying that's called, I believe it's wabi-sabi, which basically means show off the imperfections. So, nice. So with that, even though, you know, you'll find flaws in it, other people may not. However, no. You know, sometimes you have to show off those flaws.
For sure.
So as you continue to do this, and as you continue to perfect your process and your disc making, just remember all the steps beforehand, you know, of what it took for you to get to.
Oh, when I start selling these things, I really want to send people the first prototype too. Like, I want to make one of the first and one of the last so they can see how far I've come. Yeah. 'Cause no one gets it. Like, no, nobody, like, I showed someone and they were like, Jesse, this is super cool, but I also can't appreciate it at all because I didn't do all the things you did to get to get here. But yeah, I love what you're saying about the imperfection. Like, it's so true. And that's kind of the cool thing with the recycled plastics too, is like, I don't necessarily have much of a choice on color and like what I get and stuff like that. But all the things I've made have been like so cool in their own way. And I mean, I put it into the injection machine and I have no idea what it's going to look like when it comes out. And then it comes out and it's super awesome. Like my last video, I made a disc out of trash I found on a disc golf course.
It was swirly, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And that disc,
I thought it looked like a heart a little bit. It looked like a little bit of heart in the middle.
I haven't thought of that.
Yeah,
I'll have to look back at it. That one came out and like, I mean, I'm looking at it now to try to see the heart. Sorry. Okay, yeah, I can see that. Honestly, from the angle I'm looking at it, it kind of looks like a butt too.
So does the heart.
That one came out like, I had no idea what that would look like. I threw all kinds of colors in there. It came out looking both beautiful and like trash. Like, it looks like it was made of trash, but it's also awesome. And so that's been a cool part too, and I totally believe in that. So yeah, thanks for reminding me of the imperfections and celebrating that.
Everything you do is unique as well, isn't it? That's one thing. Like, every single disc you do will never be the same, will it? And that's something else that can be celebrated, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, yeah, we're excited to see it. We're going to keep a close eye on your website. We can't wait till you start selling these. We do a thing here, so. Obviously, you're not a professional disc golfer with your own Tour Series discs. However, since you make your own discs, as soon as they come available, I can promise you, you got three guys here that will buy them.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you.
So that is what we do. We are all about supporting disc golf and supporting the world. Now, I got to say, I'm really impressed. I wasn't sure of how this interview was going to go. But I have a lot more appreciation of what my role out on the disc golf course is.
Yeah.
And then we need to take care of it.
It's inspiring, isn't it? It's inspiring.
Yes.
It really is.
Like Jesse said, the just taking one step at a time can make, although you think it's not making any difference, you inspire others. Jess has inspired us, for instance. If we're picking rubbish up off the and putting it into the bin, it inspires other people. And it's a nice circle to just keep going round and round, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, and that's the thing. Like, when people tell me, I just got a comment on a recent video that was like, it said, "You've inspired me and my buddy to pick up trash, so you're already making change here in South Carolina." And I was like, that means the world. Like, I can never respond in words with how much that means to me. Like, the fact that that's happening now is like so rad, because to be totally honest with you guys, I grew up with people who just bitched about trash on the disc golf course and didn't do anything about it. And it was like, oh, this disc golf course is so trashy. Like, there's a course here in Denver that's characteristically known as, like, it is the trashy course. And there's a group of people right now who are trying to, like, revitalize it to make it something else. And I can't imagine how many people have, like, played that course and done nothing. And then this group of guys comes along and now they're going to do something about it. Like, that is so rad. So I think, like, we all can, like, undervalue our contribution, right? Like, we all can do that. But at the end of the day, like, picking up one piece of trash, it does more than we give credit for. And it also, like, this is something for me personally, and I can attest to that fact that it happens to other people, but I can't make it. Like, when you pick up one piece of trash, or when you start reusing a water bottle, like using a reusable water bottle instead of single use, it starts to affect other areas of your life too. You start to see trash in other places and pick it up. You start to see, oh, I'm using a single use plastic here. Well, I'm going to try to use something else instead. Like, it totally flows into your life. And ultimately, like, all of us just taking a step forward, like, that's going to create the world that we need to create. And this is something I harp on, but if we don't, then we are enjoying a sport so much. It's a sport we hold so dear, and future generations won't be able to.
Yeah.
That's a reality that some people aren't willing to acknowledge, but it's the truth. And what is the cost? Like, what is the cost of doing that? Enjoying this sport and doing what we do if future generations won't be able to. For me, I'm like, I want a disc golfer in 450 years having a blast on the course too.
Well, I think you said it best when you said it's not our fault, but it's our responsibility, right? That actually hits home a lot. Yeah, I didn't put out the trash out there. I keep my trash and I throw where it's supposed to go. But you know what? It's our responsibility. If we want to keep playing, especially in the free courses that are in parks, you know, if they're being trashed, it's our responsibility, because we're on the course, and we want people to say that, hey, you know, this course that I play, it's a nice course. It looks nice. It's well maintained. And guess what? We as a community make sure that we take care of the course and we keep it clean and trash free. Yeah.
I mean, it's as simple as, like, you invest time and you take care of the things that you love. Like, it's true for disc golfers with their form, right? People invest so much time and effort into fixing their form or changing their form. We spend so much time trying to get better at putting. Like, we're investing time into something we love. And the reality is that picking up trash is investing into that thing we love too.
And it takes 10 seconds, doesn't it? It takes 10 seconds to piece a piece of trash up.
Max. 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And the more you start picking up trash, there's also a fun other thing that happens. You'll start to realize that your disc starts to, like, land near trash. And all of a sudden you're like, am I just a magnet to trash? Because all of a sudden I can't not pick it up.
Well, I'm going to take your word. I'm going to try it, right? I think we're still in lockdown until the 29th of March. 29th of March, we are allowed to go outside finally and play.
Nice.
Play. So come the 29th, everybody's going to be on the courses. We have a pretty good.
Until then, you've got Disc Golf Valley, and hopefully Latitude will make it possible to, like, pick up a piece of trash inside of Disc
Golf. can I just say they neither of those two will play Disc Golf Valley, because not only do I beat them playing actual disc golf, I also beat them playing Disc Golf Valley as well.
That's because you're a video game nerd.
Yeah, we don't have as much time as you, Dolph.
we have jobs. Awesome. Well, Jesse, we appreciate you coming on the show. Before we let you go, though, where can people go to find out more, not only about you, but your goals and just kind of your vision?
If people want to find out more about me, they can just type in Trash Panda Disc Golf on search engines and it should come up, whether it's Google or YouTube. If people don't want to find out about me, but want to pick up a piece of trash while playing disc golf, then I'm also equally stoked. So, like, listeners, whatever you do, whether it's looking up my stuff, great, or picking up a piece of trash, fantastic. Like, let's all do our part.
Where can we get one of those tags from?
Tell us about where can we get the trackers?
people can go to my website. You three will get one in the mail when you give me your addresses. So
awesome.
I will put it on my water bottle happily. Jesse, before we let you go, any other shout outs that you'd like to give?
I'll just shout out the community. I mean, the people who are commenting, the people who are messaging me, the people who are following and picking up trash and doing everything. I mean, if people are ever interested, pop into the comments on Instagram or YouTube and just read what people have to say. Like, Trash Panda at the end of the day has become so much more than me, and it's a movement now. And like, that the reality of that is not, it's not me. And so I just have to shout out, I mean, everyone who has used the hashtag, followed, commented, liked, shared, subscribed. I mean, it is incredible. We talked about the reuse trackers. Those sold out the night I launched them. And I've got a new order coming in. And so you guys won't get yours for a while, but like, I've got a new order coming in, and we've almost doubled pre-orders from initial orders before they sold out now. Like, and it's been up for 2 days. So not even 2 days. And so it's just like those are the people who are making the difference. And like, I have a platform and that's cool, but it's not about me. So I'm just super grateful to everyone who has supported me.
I have to say, like, I didn't know what to expect from this interview, but you've absolutely blown me away. I think you've been my favorite guest because of just the whole message. You're really down to earth, but you've got an important message that's sort of lurking away in the background and people aren't willing to address.
Well, I think it was very educational as well.
Yeah.
It was never anything that I thought of. Never thought about picking up a piece of trash on the course. But now I'll never forget.
Yeah. Awesome. So, well, my pleasure.
Again, Jesse, thank you so much. We will catch up with you in a little while, and we'll see how everything's going. So again, thank you for coming on the show. We really do appreciate it. Wow. What a great interview. I just want to say thank you to Jesse for being on the show. Appreciate it. I got to be honest. I personally went into the interview a bit leery and skeptical. But now after talking with him, I firmly believe that we as disc golfers are responsible for the course and to make sure that in 450 years, we can't all play disc golf, but we can play.
Yeah.
So I love the interview. I'm glad we had it. It's definitely changed my outlook on how to be a responsible disc golfer. What did you guys think about the?
I thought it was very good. I thought he talked really well. Probably due to his pastor background, but I thought he spoke very well. He's very knowledgeable on the subject, and he seemed like just like we say it all the time, but he seemed like a genuinely nice guy, hoping to make a change. And I think that came across really well in the interview, to be honest. And it certainly give us a sort of a way forward and how we can make the courses better and the environment better in terms of when we're playing disc golf. I thought it was really good.
And I thought it was great. I thought that, like, he captured us. He is very good at speaking, but just suddenly a little light bulb moment that if you see a bit of rubbish on the floor, just pick it up. It doesn't take any effort. You pick it up, you put it in your bag pocket, and that's it. If people see you do it, someone else will do it. I think disc golf has a long way to go before it can be environmentally friendly, but with people like him, and if the big companies step up, it can go a long way. So I think watch this space, because I think it's an important thing that's going to come out in the next few years about being a bit more sustainable.
I think he alluded to in the interview as well, sort of perhaps like a little bit of a team up with a bigger company, a Trash Panda cross with, I don't know, Dynamic Disc or Discmania or something like that. And that would be pretty cool to do, like a fully recyclable main production line disc. That would be a good start, I think.
Yeah. He was an interesting bloke, and he was really, really articulate and a real nice bloke as well.
Yeah, no, great interview. Appreciate it. So that's it. That's the show for today. one thing that I'm going to say for all the disc golfers listening, which is everybody, it may not be your fault, but it is your responsibility. All right, everybody, keep it in the chains.
Keep it in the chains.
Keep it in the chains.
Thanks for listening to In the Chains. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you like the show, please leave us a review. Until next time, keep it in the chains.